A question as we begin our study of this scripture passage today. How important is it that we bring glory to God? That you, that I bring glory to God in the person that we are and in the things that we do? If you're like me, too often and unfortunately so, within the busyness of all of the matters that take place in our day, bringing glory to God probably seldom even enters our mind. And folks, may I say with great concern that such a response is not only troubling, it must never be allowed to take place. As I read the words of the scripture passage that we'll study today, I'm reminded of how God recorded some very simple, but at the very same time, very demanding requirements within the words of our scriptures. Words that inform us of an event and then also reveal and instruct us as to what our response really should always be. Here in this scripture passage, Jesus very generously healed 10 men of the very painful disease of leprosy. And while, yes, he had compassion on those men for their suffering, it seems that our Lord has also given us this account for another very, very important reason. And that is to help us to know just how important it is to remember that all of the many blessings that we receive each day actually come from His hand, from our Lord and His hand. And that we must always remember to turn and give Him the glory, give Him the praise for all those blessings that He gives to us. Listen to this account of the healing of these men given here in Luke chapter 17. And let's consider their response to the blessing that He gave to them. Here, beginning in verse 11, we read, "Now it happened as He," this is the Lord Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as He entered a certain village, there He met 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and they said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when He saw them, He said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to them, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" In the doxology that's sung in many of our churches each Sunday, we bring glory to God with the words, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." And then also in the Westminster Catechism, the first question of those catechisms asks, "What is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man?" And the answer is, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And then also in Romans chapter 11, speaking about the Lord Jesus, are the words that I quote to us so often. There we read, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." And then here in our scripture passage for today, Jesus asked the question, "Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Dear Christian, as we can see from these and so many, many other scriptures like them, giving glory to God for who He is and for all that He does is the most important thing that we could ever do. And that's one of the very special truths that God is giving to us within these words that we'll study here today. Here in this passage about the healing of these 10 lepers, may we first embrace the understanding that there is always much, much more taking place beneath the surface of an encounter with Jesus than is understood with our ordinary senses. These are brief words, but they're filled with unspoken meaning. Filled with unspoken meaning. First of all, may we acknowledge again that God is sovereign over all of his realm. And further, that he inserts his providential hand into all of the matters that take place within his realm. We need only to ask God to open our spiritual eyes that we might see his loving hand, and he'll show it to us. Here, Jesus and his disciples are traveling through Samaria. They were on their way to Jerusalem when they encountered these 10 lepers. We know that this was not a chance encounter, as we so often want to think, but rather that this was a very divine appointment, a divine appointment, one in which 10 men would receive a blessing, and then in which their response would be measured back to them. How do we know that? How do we know that this was not a chance encounter? We know that because of the simple words of the Lord Jesus that I quote to us so often. Here given in John chapter 6, verse 44, where he tells us, "No one comes to me except my Father draw them." No one, Jesus said, comes to me except my Father draws them. And then also in John chapter 6, verse 65, he tells us that no one can come to me unless it's granted to him by the Father. Those men with leprosy may not have known why they ventured along that roadway that day, but we do. We do. God drew them to be there so that they might receive a divine healing from their disease and from their suffering. But also, even more, so that they might have the opportunity to receive a far greater healing, a healing of their soul, a healing of their soul. But we also see here that God allowed the freedom of these men's will to enter into their response. It's God's desire that with the freedom of our will, that we'll turn and bless him back for the blessings that we've received. We observe here that at least one of these 10 men responded rightly to this great blessing that he had received. But unfortunately, the other 9 fell short. Yes, they received the healing of their bodies, but they missed out. Listen, they missed out on the far greater blessing of the healing of their souls. And that's one of the instructions that God intends for you and me today, that we too often probably grab hold of the more surface blessings of God and quickly go running off to enjoy them while we leave the greater blessings still in his hand. Let me say that again. We too often probably grab hold of the more surface blessings of God and then quickly go running off to enjoy those blessings while we leave the greater blessings still in his hand. As we view these 10 men, we can probably assume that all 10 of them really did believe in God. At least they believed in him in a traditional sense. But is that ever really enough? Is that enough? It's one thing to know that God is God, that Jesus is the Christ, the one who came to seek and to save those who are lost. And even to also know, as the doxology tells us, from whom all blessings flow. And then for us to even go to that source of healing water and to find relief from our suffering. But to go all the way, and receive all of the blessings that God is willing to give to us is probably a rare occurrence. Here, only 1 in 10. Only 1 in 10. Leprosy was then and is now a very different and unique form of disease. It manifests itself in a very visible and very painful rotting of the flesh. And it's usually terminal. But beyond the physical suffering that came to those lepers in those days was also the prevailing belief that leprosy was a direct punishment from God for spiritual misconduct. And when we read here that these lepers stood afar off, we know that they did that for 2 reasons. First, because the disease itself was contagious. But secondly, and equally demanding, was the assumption that these men were also very spiritually unclean. And may I say that those ideas and those beliefs weren't far-fetched. They can be seen clearly when we read the laws of Moses. That is one of the reasons why, as Jesus, the original giver of the law, healed these men. And then he told them to go and abide by the requirements within the laws of Moses. He said to them in verse 14, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. The time and the dispensation of the law were still in effect, and Jesus knew it. And some of these men, being Israelites, knew that it was right and proper for them to abide by the law and to go and show themselves to the priest. And then also to go through all of the other remaining ritual cleansings that are prescribed by the law. But note the response here by the Samaritan. The Samaritan was not a pure Jew and was not usually accepted by the Jewish priests, especially not in the way that the ordinary Jews would have been accepted for cleansing. So he did what non-Jews should do. He turned back immediately and went straight to Christ. And there this Samaritan, did the very right thing. He gave glory to the one from whom all blessings flow, the Lord Jesus. And it was the right thing to do. For it really is, as we read here in Romans chapter 11, it is of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now a question. What does God intend for you and me to gain from these words of this passage today? He wants you and me to know that when we suffer from one of life's many diseases, one of life's many difficulties or dilemmas, there really is only one source by which and from which we should seek relief. So often we quickly run to and then give credit to our available secular cures, to our doctors, to our psychologists, and to our medications. And yes, they often each do have their place. But here in this disease of leprosy, God presents us with one of those conditions that's not curable by secular means. And that was intentional. That was intentional so that we could recognize immediately that there's only one real and effective source of relief from much of our suffering. If we are careful as we read these scriptures, we'll see clearly that most illness is not random. Most illness is not random, brought on by a chance encounter with a virus germ or some other source. As we can see as we read the account of the awful illness that was suffered by the old servant Job, for instance, the devil and his minions can and do bring about all sorts of disease and suffering to our bodies and to our souls. And also, folks, as much as many of our Christian brethren don't want to accept it, God himself can and will bring about an illness within us. He ministers to each of us individually and personally. And if it will accomplish a purpose that he has planned for our lives, if our illness or our disease will bring glory to him, then yes, God will bring about suffering in us. There are two accounts that come quickly to my mind, one involving a man who was born blind and then was healed by Jesus. Those words in John chapter 9. Verse 1, as he passed by, this is the Lord Jesus, saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." And then there's another incident. The sickness and the death of Jesus' close friend, Lazarus. You recall that when Jesus was told that his friend Lazarus was sick, he didn't rush to save him from death. And that was for a very important purpose. To demonstrate to those people then and to you and me now that Jesus can not only bring about healing to us, he is also our God who will resurrect us from the dead. Listen to those words in John chapter 11. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Folks, these precious words of Scripture tell us a truth that we must not allow to get past our understanding. This man, the Lord Jesus, is God. He is God, the one who created all things and who holds all things together by the power of his might. And to him belongs all of the glory, all of the honor that we can possibly give to him. And now here in this passage of Scripture that we're studying today, we see that taking place. We see that taking place. And it's as an instruction to us being demonstrated by this leper who was healed by the Lord Jesus. His long and terminal illness of leprosy being simply spoken out of existence, just spoken out of existence, with just a word from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And all for the purpose of bringing glory to God. All for the purpose of bringing glory to God. As we consider these words, bringing glory to God, please do understand that this glory is not the same kind of glory that we're accustomed to, that our sports stars or our entertainers reach for as they perform. No, folks, not at all. Their glory seeking is a corrupt and sinful behavior. Now, the glory that we are to ascribe to our Lord Jesus has to do with his honor and with the beauty of his holiness. He is pure and he is holy and he is righteous in all that he is and all that he does. And we are to attribute that right back to him at every moment and for all things. As the words in Psalm 119 tell us, God is good. God is good and he does good. And it's God's deepest desire that you and I join with him, be one with him in his holiness and his righteousness. And if we do that, then all of the blessings that flow into us from him and then out from us will bless everyone that we encounter. And as we do our part in this blessed transaction, then God is glorified. God is glorified. And that is absolutely the way that it should be with every breath that we breathe in this life. And that's the way it will fully be once we get into heaven. There all things will be pure. All things will be holy and righteous. And all of us saints will eternally rejoice in that very special glory of God. But for now, and for a little while longer, we must continue with the provision that we have. And we need to consecrate ourselves to this purpose that's spoken about here in our scripture passage, that of bringing glory to God. As you and I walk daily in amongst the unbelieving world of the pride-filled entertainers and the athletes and even religionists, we really need to remain faithful to Christ. And we really must do as this one leper did. We really must turn and fall at his feet and give glory and praise and thanksgiving to Christ. Now, before we close today, may we consider again all that's taking place here with the Lord Jesus as he encounters these men, and then also what our response needs to be. First of all, within the flesh of these 10 lepers, Jesus wrought a powerful miracle, a powerful miracle. With only a word from his mouth, with only the power of his voice, he was able to make perfect a thing that was horribly imperfect. He was able to dispel any and all corruption that the world, the flesh, and the devil had put upon these men. But also remember that even more special miracle of healing, that of the healing of the Samaritan, where he brought eternal healing to his soul. He not only healed that man's body, he healed that man's soul. Verse 14, So when he saw them, he said to them, go now and show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And then in verse 19, Jesus said to the man, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. This, folks, this is the right way to respond to an encounter with Jesus. Unfortunately, for the 9 of those 10 men that received this great blessing, healing of their bodies was all that they probably received. They seem to have left the best of his healing still in his hand. Here, the Lord Jesus clearly expresses to us that there is so much, much more to be received from him. Just as with this one man, we can not only have the healing of our bodies, we can also have the eternal healing of our souls. We can have blessed salvation. Which then brings us again to the question that's being presented to us within the words of our scripture passage today. Do we stop and take the time to give glory to God for the blessings that so generously flow to us each day? For many of us, we do have reasonably good health. Do we give God the glory for our health? As we look around the room at our beloved wife or husband, do we quietly praise our Lord for them? And what about our children? What about our children? Do we praise our Lord for our children? And what about the home that we live in, and the car that we drive, and the food that we eat, and that delicious cup of coffee that we wake up to each morning? Oh, dear Christian, it all comes from Him. It all comes from Him, our Lord. For it is from Him, and to Him, and through Him, that all things flow. But this is our part. This is our part. You and I must humble ourselves and be willing to receive blessings from our Lord's hand, and then we must be willing to fall at His feet and to give glory and praise to Him for each and every one of those good and perfect gifts that He gives to us. May we close with these words of the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Pray with me. Oh, dear Father, help us to stop and realize that every blessing comes from You. Help us to know that You are our provision for all of the blessings of life. And help us then to turn and give glory to You for all the blessings that we receive. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.